Good morning.
Morning.
Get your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 24. I want to share a little story with you today, a simple story about a young man named James. James was a common man, not different from any of us. He lived in a small bitty town working as a grocery store manager, providing for his family and enjoying the closeness of his friends. One day, his beloved grandfather, a wise and well-traveled man, gave him a valuable pocket watch, a precious family heirloom. The grandfather told James, "This watch will one day stop ticking. When it does, I will come and visit you." James was puzzled, for his grandfather lived many miles away, yet the promise was sincere and heartfelt. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months, and months into years. James carried the pocket watch everywhere, carefully maintaining it, winding it each day, keeping it close to his heart. As he went about his daily life, working, loving, and living, the thought of his grandfather's visit stayed with him. He didn't know when the watch would stop ticking, but he knew his grandfather was a man of his word, and so he lived in constant anticipation. Friends, we are like James. We wait for the Lord's coming.
Amen.
We don't know when he's coming. We don't know when he's going to break these eastern skies and come and get us. We have no clue. We carry within us a promise, not of a temporal visit from an earthly relative, but an eternal promise of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 24, if you'll stand with me, we'll read verses 40 through 44. Then two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house hath known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here this morning to hear your word. We pray, God, that you would give us open hearts to receive your word, and you would give me the voice to speak clearly and understandable, that they may take your word out into the community. We ask you, Lord, that you bless this message as only you can. Father, we thank you, Lord, for everything. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Today, just like James lived in the hope of his grandfather's arrival, we too are called to live in anticipation of the Christ's return. We are to maintain our spiritual watches, winding them with faith, hope, and love, living each day in readiness for the glorious return of our Savior. Today, as we gather to explore the profound effects of the living in the hope of Christ's return, a promise made, a promise that will surely be fulfilled, let us open our hearts and minds as we dive into this divine promise. Listen, Christ is coming back. No one will be able to stop him when his Father says, "Go get my children." Yeah. Even the devil, as powerful as he is, he will not be able to stop Christ when he busts those eastern skies wide open and comes in the clouds to get his children. Think about that. Not even Satan, as powerful as he is, he's called the God of this world. He's called the Prince of the Power of the Air in this world. He alone will not be able to stop Jesus from coming back. There are three ways we are told to live as we wait Christ's return. Number one, we are to embrace hope. Titus chapter 2. If you'll turn to Titus chapter 2, I want to read a passage of scripture over there in verses 11 through 13. We are told to wait patiently for the Lord's return. We are told to wait and be ready for the Lord's return. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul points us to the blessed hope, which is the return of Jesus Christ. First of all, we are to live in hope, waiting for our blessed hope. Listen, we all hope that we will be taken to heaven. And the only way you will be taken to heaven if you give your heart to Jesus. Amen. Our hope lies fully in Him, that He has said that He will come back and call our names, even those in the grave. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those which are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord and forever. Listen, my friend, that ground that they're buried 6 feet under will not stop them from Christ raising them from the dead. Think about that. Christ has the power to lift all of those. This is the hope we live for. This is the hope we're hoping for, waiting for our blessed hope. I want you to consider the story of a woman named Mary. Mary's husband, John, was a sailor who was often away on long trips. Every time he left, he promised to return. And Mary clung onto that promise as she went about her daily life. She worked hard, keeping their home in order, cooking meals, and caring for the kids. She found joy in preparing John's favorite dishes, even though he wasn't there to taste them. She would tidy up the house each day, looking forward to the moment he'd walk through the door. Her hope, her steadfast hope of John's return, lit up even the most routine task with a sense of purpose. It made her days of waiting meaningful. As Christians, We're called to do the same. We have the promise of Christ's return, our blessed hope that should light up our everyday lives. It is not a vague wish, but a firm hope, an anchor for our souls during stormy times. And like Mary waiting for John, our lives are lived in the anticipation of a joyful reunion, with every day bringing us closer to that moment. We live in great hope that the Lord will come back. We live in great hope. That's our blessed hope in this time that we live. That's our blessed hope that we live in anticipation of the Lord coming back. Secondly, the glorious return. Titus 2:13. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Every day we live, every breath we take is a moment closer to the glorious event of Christ's return. We eagerly anticipate and rejoice in the coming return of Christ Jesus. His second coming will be far grander than any earthly homecoming. We celebrate homecoming every year here at the church, but our homecoming with Christ will be far greater than any homecoming. We will be joined not only with Christ, but we will be reunited with all of our loved ones, all those who have passed on before us. We, as God's children, think about the return of Christ. It will be a moment of great triumph and joy, the ultimate fulfillment of our hope as described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Even those that put him to death, even those that drove the nail in his hands and feet, they will see his return. Everyone will see his return when he comes back. John reminds us these things in Revelation. As we wait in anticipation of this event, every decision, every action we make today should reflect our hope of his glorious return. Secondly, we are to spread out holiness. Turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. In the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 3. I'll give you time to turn there. 1 John chapter 3. The Bible says in verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Notice what this verse says. It says, we shall see him like he is, and we shall be like him in the resurrection. Amen. We will be a spiritual form just like Jesus is. We will be called up together Our bodies will be whole like Jesus is. We will have a brand new body that will never get tired, that will never get old, that will never get sick when we get to heaven. We, as God's children, will have a body like Jesus. John reminds us that the hope of the Christ's return shall spur us towards personal holiness and emphasizes the transforming power of the hope in Christ. As we wait His return, we are not merely passive observers. We are not merely waiting for His return, but we hope that He is returning, and we are to be passive observers as He comes. We are actively working, striving to become more like Christ is in our daily basis. This exception should inspire us to purify ourselves, to live in holiness as we anticipate seeing Him as He is. First of all, being God's children now. Verse 3, the first part of verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We have been adopted into God's family through faith in Christ. This present reality shapes our identity and actions. Like children who bear the likeness of their parents, we strive to reflect God's holy nature in our lives. We should become more holy every day. As we read God's word, as we pray, as we live our lives, we should try to be more holy as Christ is holy. The Bible says, I'm holy, you should be holy. The Bible tells us that we should grow in holiness every day. Secondly, becoming like Him. Verse 2 and 3. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. The hope we have in Christ's return is transformative. It is not just about waiting, but also about becoming more like Jesus in our thoughts, our actions, and attitudes. Let's consider a professional athlete like an Olympic runner. When they're training for a competition, they don't merely wait for the event day. They spend months, even years, preparing for the race. They train their bodies, eat a balanced diet, and follow a strict training regimen. Each day, every day, they're working toward becoming a better version of themselves to be prepared as possible when the competition day arrives. Similarly, as Christians, we don't just wait for Christ's return. We train for it. We discipline our bodies and minds. We feed ourselves spiritually through reading God's word. And we aim to live holy lives. We strive to become more like Jesus every day, to be prepared as possible when He does return. Billy Graham once shared this story. The most elegant prayer is the prayer through hands that heal and bless. The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of a consecrated feet seeking out the lost and helpless. These words serve as a reminder that our holiness should not be confined within ourselves. It should overflow into service, reaching out to others in love, mirroring Christ's selfless love for humanity. As we live in expectation of Christ's return, we should strive to reflect His purity and love in all that we do. We should be out there spreading the good news of Christ. We should be out there telling people that Jesus is coming back. We should be out there telling them that Christ is going to return for them if they are ready to accept Him as Lord and Savior. Those that do not accept Him will spend an eternity in hell. Those that do not accept Him will spend an eternity separated from God. Amen. God's love does not go into hell. God's love is able to reach anywhere, but God chooses not to have His love in hell. These people will suffer for all eternity if they don't know Jesus, if they don't come into realization that they need to accept Him as Savior before they leave this walk of life. Every one of us need to be out there telling people about this blessed hope we have. Each of us need to be out there telling people that Jesus is the Savior, and we need to be telling them that He is the only way to heaven. Thirdly, we are to encourage others. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll give you a second to turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. Look down in verse 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. As we eagerly anticipate the Lord's return, we are also called to exhibit a spirit of encouragement among ourselves. This mandate extends beyond mere uplifting words and movements. It's about promoting growth, inspiring action, and stirring up love in one another as we come together and navigate our faith journey. First of all, stirring up love, verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Consider the model of a corporate workspace. These environments, like WeWork, provide shared spaces where freelancers and small businesses can work individually while seeking benefiting from communal atmosphere. These spaces are designed to promote cooperation, networking, and the shared ideas. In such a setup, a person might inspire a fellow worker with their original ideas, or a graphic designer might lend their expertise to a startup needed a logo. Each individual, by following their unique pursuits with passion and dedication, can encourage and spur up others towards their own professional accomplishments. In a similar manner, Christians are called to spur one another towards love and good works. By living out our faith, with truth and passion, we can inspire others in their spiritual journey, encouraging them to pursue a life of love and service, reflecting Christ's love in our interactions with each other and the world. Secondly, we're to meet together. Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. We are not to forsake ourselves from coming to the house of God.
Amen.
This is very important. Many people forsake themselves in the house of God. They're out playing golf. They're at the lake fishing. They're at their homes resting. They're forsaking the assembling of themselves together in the house of God. We need to teach people, and we need to be encouraging people to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much more as the day of Christ's return approaches. Yeah. The role of support groups provides a fitting modern illustration for this point. Take Alcoholics Anonymous, AA, for example. AA operates on the principle of mutual aid. Members share their experiences with each other, offering empathy, understanding, and advice to help one another overcome their shared struggle. The strength of these groups lies in the regular meetings where members share personal stories, celebrate each other's milestones, and provide comfort in setbacks. The group meeting serves as a reminder to each member that they are not alone, and it is a shared experience, mutual support, that one often plays a meaningful role in the recovery journey. Likewise, Christians are called to meet together regularly, sharing in each other's joys, our sorrows, our challenges, and our victories. As the day of Christ's return draws near, these gatherings become increasingly needed, providing a platform for mutual encouragement and spiritual support. In these shared spaces, we can continually remind each other of our shared hope and encourage each other to live in the ways that honor God. In a world often marked by independence and isolation, these moments of connection and encouragement reflect the interconnected body of Christ, reminding us that our faith journey is not meant to be walked alone. When we continually remind you to come to church or small groups or Sunday school classes, it isn't to annoy you or to get our numbers up. We do it because we understand the need of meeting one another to build each other's faith and to build each other up. Listen, my friend, we should be out there inviting people to come to church, inviting them to come to Sunday school, inviting them to not forsake themselves in the house of God. Amen. This is so much more important today than any time in a history, because Christ's return is very close.
Amen.
Christ's return is very close. We see all the signs have been fulfilled that He's given us. We see everything has come together that He's told us what happened in that last days. The last thing He said would happen before He came back was that everyone would hear the Word of God. Today, like no other time before, everyone has access to the internet, to missionaries, to those who spread the word of God. Every corner of the earth has been exposed to the gospel. Today, every nation has heard the word of God. We need to be more about spreading the word of God in our own community. We need to tell people about Jesus, about the one that loves them enough to go to the cross for them. We need to tell people about Jesus that shed his blood so that they might go free. We need to tell people about Jesus, that he was the one and the only one that was the willing sacrifice that went to the cross, that died for each of them so they could be free.
Amen.
We need to be about God's work today more than any other time in history. We need to be about telling people about Jesus. As we bring our time to a close today, let's remember that our faith is not just about waiting for the return of Christ, but actively preparing for it. We live each day in joyful hope, knowing that with each sunrise, every sunrise, we are one day closer to seeing our Savior face to face. As we embrace hope, let's carry the promise of his return with us in our daily lives. Like the sailor's wife, whose hope lights up the usual task, let the hope of Christ's return illuminate our everyday routines, bringing us purpose to even the smallest actions. As we show holiness, remember, we are training for his return. Just as the runner disciplines their body and mind for the race, we too strive to grow more like Jesus each day of our life. Our purification is an active preparation, a determined dedication to mirror his love and purity in our actions. As we encourage others, let's spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us be a community of faith that strengthens each other. Just like the runner in a race or a support group for recovery. Together, we can inspire and uphold each other, reflecting Christ's selfless love in our mutual encouragement. The call to live in hope of Christ's return is both an honor and a responsibility. It guides us, inspires us, and ultimately shapes us into the people God intends us to be. As we walk this journey together, let's continually strive to embody hope, to live in holiness, and to encourage each other as we look forward to the glorious return of Christ's return. Listen, this is our blessed hope. This is what we wait for. This is what we all need to be concerned with, is Christ's return. As you've seen, this message today was living in the hope of the Lord's return. We all should live in that hope. We all should be in that hope and waiting and watching for the Lord to come back. Every one of us know he's coming back because he's told us in the Word of God he's coming back. We need to be eagerly telling people about Jesus, telling people about the love of God, telling people about Jesus who died for them and gave his life for them. We need to be telling them about a Savior who gave everything he had, his own life, so that we might be saved from death and hell. Think about that, my friend. Are you telling people about Jesus? We all need to be concerned. We all need to be busy with telling people about Jesus. Everything we do should reflect our power, should reflect our attitudes, should reflect our motions to draw people closer to the Savior, to draw them to Him, because He is the only one that can save. He is the only one that can save you from sin and death. He is the only one that can save you from hell. Jesus is the mighty name that can save you. And Jesus only is the one that we need to give honor to today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the words you've given us today to speak. Living in the hope of the Lord's return. We ask you, Lord, that you would help all of us be a witness in this world. Tell people about the love of Jesus and express to them that they need to be saved before it's too late. Because when it's over and when it's too late and when that last breath of life comes into the person's life, if they don't know Jesus, they'll split hell wide open. We thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for dying on the cross so that we might go free and that so we might have a home in heaven. For it's in Christ's name we ask it all. Amen.